The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, why would a radio program about God, or any radio program at all for that matter, air at the same time as the Super Bowl? Well, my friend, that's a fair question, but if you're watching the Super Bowl right now, you probably aren't the one asking the question because you don't care because you're watching the Super Bowl. So why be on the air when nobody is listening? I can start with a simple answer. Simple answer is that this is the time my show was put on the KCBQ schedule, period. The Super Bowl had nothing to do with us securing this particular time slot. Now, I could have taken the day off, but if I had, we'd need to find a substitute host or air a repeat broadcast. However, I would also point out that not everybody is into football. There are some people who could care less about the Super Bowl, and some of them are listening to me on the radio this very moment. So I would like to say hi to you, both of you. I do that bit every year. It never gets old because nobody ever hears it. So how can it get old? Now, of course, I'm exaggerating. There are more than two people listening right now. Poor Nick, our board op, has to listen when he'd rather be watching the game. So that's three people that are listening. But also, many people follow my program by listening online, where each show is posted to my website the following morning. But whether you are listening on terrestrial radio, live, or listening off of your computer at a time of your own convenience, welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. We'll begin with the news of the week. Now, I'm no prophet, but let me try my hand in the world of predictions. The number one headline in the news for the next 4 years is Trump. It has gotten to the point where when I come home and turn on the TV to get the news, I say to myself, I think I'll turn on the TV and get the Trump. Yes, the word Trump now equals the word news. Love him or hate him, and you may love him or you may hate him, but that's it, folks. That's the center of the news for the next 4 years, and he loves it. He loves it. And he seems to love changing the narrative each day by saying or tweeting something new. The media takes the bait every time. Not me. I don't follow suit every time. Last week, I did an entire program on prayer. Trump's name was not even mentioned, although God knows there would have been plenty to talk about. But we are a program that does more than just news. We delve into the deeper areas of life. We explore the wisdom of the Bible. Still, we are certainly a program that includes the news. I do speak out about important events, and right now there's a civil war brewing in our country, mostly a verbal battle, but it is starting to get violent with some of these street and campus protests, so I do need to speak out. Only part of the gospel, only one side of the gospel is talking about the forgiveness of sin. We are also commanded by God to help deliver people from the effects of other people's sin upon them, and that includes, at the very, very least, speaking out against evil. And right now, there is a dialogue in America about who is good or who is evil, the left or the right or the in-between. That dialogue is very connected to the election we just had. And Trump is at the center of almost all relevant news, even when it shouldn't be so important. And yet, even then, the mainstream media will make it important by saying a lot of stupid things and making a lot of baseless accusations. But certainly candidate Trump said a lot of inflammatory things himself during the campaign. As president, though, I must say he has tried very hard to do his job. In fact, he's doing it so well, people aren't sure what to do. From Democrats to establishment Republicans, from the mainstream media to Hollywood, from the ivy towers of academic elites to your politically correct relatives around the dinner table, people are shocked, stunned, flabbergasted, and puzzled at the raw, brazen nerve of Donald Trump. Whoever heard of a new president who goes to Washington and actually sets out to do just exactly what he promised to do before being elected? Now, maybe he didn't like what he promised, but you can't deny he is keeping his promises, at least most of them, so far. And as I have said over the air many, many times, only one promise ever mattered to me. And finally, last week, it did happen. He did keep it, the most important promise of all, a Supreme Court nominee who will enforce the Constitution and not legislate from the bench. Neil Gorsuch, his credentials are impeccable. And moments after he was announced, I heard many conservative pundits on Fox News say that Democrats are going to have a hard time not confirming him. Well, the news was happening, and I wrote the following on Facebook about this idea that Democrats are not going to be able to turn down a Harvard grad and a Columbia grad. I said, don't believe that for a second. The Dems decided to obstruct this nominee before he was even named. We will hear that he isn't mainstream. That means he isn't a Marxist liberal. We will hear that the American people want bipartisanship. That means the Republicans are supposed to cave to the minority party, even though we heard them lecture us about how elections have consequences back when they were the majority party. That's what I wrote on Facebook. Well, it didn't take long, ladies and gentlemen. Even as my Facebook friends were responding to my post, very shortly afterwards, within that same half hour, I had to add the following amendment. I wrote on Facebook, prediction confirmed. We just heard from Schumer, meaning Charles Schumer. Apparently, the nominee isn't mainstream, and the Dems will oppose him. I'm shocked. My message is for Mitch McConnell. Just select the nuclear option. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that Senate lingo for removing the right to filibuster, which I always thought was a stupid rule anyway. Yes, end the filibuster and put the Dems out of their misery so that the rest of us can be put out of our misery. At least less miserable than all the stupidity we've been enduring for the last 8 years. The Democrats are going to throw their little temper tantrums no matter what the Republicans do. So the Republicans might as well just do the right thing, and the press is going to demonize Trump no matter what he does. Donald Trump expresses concern about stopping violence in our inner cities. He gets accused of painting a dark, gloomy picture of America. He talks about protecting our citizens from terrorists who brag openly about sneaking themselves into our country by disguising themselves as refugees. And he's compared to Hitler. He brings back jobs by opening the Keystone Pipeline, and he's accused of destroying the environment. If the guy cured cancer, he'd be accused of genocide because in killing the cancer, he's destroying something that was once alive. If the man sneezed, we would hear lectures about climate change, although in that case, they would be uncharacteristically correct, or at least if Trump failed to cover his mouth, the climate would have changed at that moment in the small radius of space around him.
This is Lori K. Lewis, a frequent co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, Talk Radio 1170 on KCBQ. If you have questions or comments during this radio broadcast, please call Bob at this toll-free number, 1-888-344-1170. Again, the number is 1-888-344-1170. We'd like to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Okay, back to the Hitler thing. By that, I mean these idiotic comparisons of Trump to Hitler. And of course, Trump makes idiotic comparisons of his own. Look, ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing new. The left was going to accuse any Republican of this. They used to accuse mild-mannered George Bush of being another Hitler almost every single day. Racism and sexism are always the charges of the left. Because without their accusations, they would have to have a real debate. They would have to make a genuine case. And frankly, they have no case. And to be even more frank, they know they have no case. Yes, we may be witnessing the most unusual election and post-election in American history. But there is one constant that we can always count on: tired, predictable comparisons to the Nazis. Now, this wild card has certainly been played by both sides of the table. As I said, Trump himself described a recent problematic intelligence report as a quote-unquote something that Nazi Germany would have done. Now, he was having more troubles with the heads appointed under Obama than the rank and file, but he did officially change his tune and offer an olive branch to the CIA, which gave him a standing ovation, I should say. However, for the most part, this Nazi analogy right now is aimed at our newly elected president, especially when he talks patriotic and implements protective policy. The accusation is unwarranted. Oh, sure, President Trump's quick quips are often knee-jerk reactions, but his policies are not. Many who accuse Trump of fascism for his executive orders about building a wall and vetting refugees from the Middle East are forced to ignore the man's entire agenda. While Trump offers promises about making life better for everyone in America, critics don't seem to hear that part of the message, or perhaps just do not want to hear. Consider the president's statements about racial unity in his inaugural address. Now, use your imagination for a moment. Imagine somebody other than Donald Trump is saying this. It's time to remember that old wisdom our soldiers will never forget, that whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots. We all enjoy the same glorious freedoms, and we all salute the same great American flag. And whether a child is born in the urban sprawl of Detroit or the windswept plains of Nebraska, they look up at the same night sky, they fill their heart with the same dreams, and they are infused with the breath of life by the same almighty Creator. So to all Americans in every city, near and far, small and large, from mountain to mountain, from ocean to ocean, hear these words: you will never be ignored again. Folks, if I had told you that Abraham Lincoln said that, you might believe me. If I had told you that Martin Luther King said that, you might believe me. That was spoken by Donald Trump And here's how MSNBC's Chris Matthews responded, because apparently old Chris, you see, he didn't decipher any unity in the speech. Instead, he heard something Hitlerian. He said, I'm quoting him, he said, today, America first. It was not just the racial, I shouldn't say racial, I should say Hitlerian background to it. Now, this is the rambling mouth of Matthews, whose objective journalism also described a thrill up his leg in response to a 2008 Obama campaign speech. So perhaps he can be easily dismissed. But the accusation gets more serious when it comes from somebody elected to the United States Congress. Representative Gerald Edward Connolly recently wrote two consecutive tweets about President Trump. DJT initiates plans for promised wall and immigration restrictions while squelching speech within the federal government. Maybe his enablers will rouse themselves when the brown shirts come for them. I, for one, will resist. All right, the term brown shirts was used of Hitler's early 1921 revolutionary militia. Moving past the politicians and pundits, though, we now turn to rabbis and software designers. In a January 2017 interview, just last month, with Candace Norwood for The Atlantic, Rabbi Charlie Schwartz, along with software builder Russell Neese, spoke about some joint projects geared to heightening awareness of Jewish issues. Okay, that's fine. So far, so good. Trump's name was used in the interview. Said Neese, it is important to remember the victims of the Holocaust. Okay, I agree. Not just the 6 million Jews that were murdered, but the 10 million victims of Nazism and Hitlerism in general, okay? Still good. The other thing I think makes this story particularly timely is the talk we've seen this week of a Trump executive order banning refugees, okay? Now it's getting kind of weird. And he goes on, people always say that if you forget history, then you will be doomed to repeat it. This is one of those moments where history gives us an opportunity to think about where we are now. When folks say never again, or we remember, it is important for us to actually do so. Okay, Jewish people, they grew up, and I can say this as somebody Jewish, they do grow up with fears of anything that to them even smells like the Holocaust. It may be understandable that those with a Jewish heritage will be especially sensitive about history repeating itself. But there are a lot of people talking on behalf of the Jews that aren't Jewish, and it must be pointed out that not all Jewish people are so quick to make this comparison. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu loves Trump. He loves him. And he appreciates the contrast from our last president who sold Israel up the river during his last few days in office by refusing to veto a United Nations resolution. Very damaging to the Jewish state. Now, I myself am Jewish. I converted to Christianity, but I was born Jewish. Both my parents are Jewish. My grandparents, as far back as I can trace in my family, I am Jewish. I am also sick and tired of hearing Trump's policy of vetting people from terrorist-driven countries being compared to what the Nazis did to the Jews. Ladies and gentlemen, in my spirit of making the obvious obvious, can I point out a few things? Jews were not trying to migrate into Germany. They were not refugees from another country seeking admission into an anti-Semitic country. Ooh, let's go to Germany where they hate Jews. Many of them were trying to get out of Germany. They had been loyal German citizens, and when those who waited too long, who had refused to flee when they had a chance, were eventually kicked out in systematic fashion, it was not with a ticket to go wherever they wished, but rather they were relocated to concentration camps in Poland and other places. And that was just for starters. In time, they were literally exterminated through Hitler's final solution. Now, as for comparing today's situation to America during World War II under Roosevelt's State Department, which was not letting enough Jewish refugees fleeing the Nazis into our country, yes, that was a very bleak time in America's history. But that is not what is going on today. Such an analogy would hold only if Hitler had been secretly working with Jews, encouraging them to sneak into America and carry out his Nazi aggressions. People, it is not one size fits all with words. Just because the word refugee is being used, that does not mean that every refugee situation is the same. By the way, nobody is talking about not admitting innocent families who are honestly attempting to escape tyranny. And nobody is talking about not admitting somebody simply because they are Muslim. Instead, the administration is talking about vetting more carefully. Why? Because ISIS has openly bragged that they plan to sneak people into America disguised as innocent refugees. Now, just what part of that do you not understand? Americans should stop listening to all this politically correct double talk and claptrap and instead pay attention to what the stated enemies of the United States are actually telling the world openly, bluntly, without even flinching. They say that if you listen to an evil person long enough, he will sooner or later tell you just exactly what he plans to do. Alas, if we want to draw a genuine analogy from Nazi Germany, that would be the place to draw it. Hitler was open about his intentions. The world did not listen. Today's ignorant, arrogant world thinks they are learning from Hitler. They have apparently learned nothing. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, "I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down." Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Appointed leftover acting attorney general refused to obey a direct order from our new president, an order about implementing his latest immigration executive order. In familiar reality TV fashion, Trump said to her, "You're fired." Now, she was only going to be there until Jeff Sessions was put in place anyway. The Democrats have been holding up his nomination. But however much longer it would have been, she's now fired. She's been hailed as a heroine Oh, yes, what courage it must have taken to be willing to put a job on the line that was about to be vacated in a few days anyway. How brave to put our national security at risk for a conviction. But indeed, she does have her sincere, honest convictions. Or perhaps, just maybe, she did this to make a name for herself. And I hear already her speaking fee is expensive. I can't help but think that if this was really about conscience and not merely her thirst for attention, she would have refused the temporary position in the first place. But alas, that would not have made the news, or at least not as much news. If you're wondering what the woman's name is, well, here's the thing. I don't care. She'll get no more attention from me. Instead, let me focus some attention on the state of America's college campuses today. I have a question for our brilliant, sophisticated, nuanced college educators. Do we still need safe places on campus where students can color in coloring books and hold on to teddy bears and feel safe? Do we still need those for students who are upset that Trump is president? Or instead, should we consider safe places for anarchists who in the name of fighting fascism are going after anybody who supported Trump and are closing down speakers and doing the kinds of things fascists do when they come into power, destroying property, shutting down a speaking event because a conservative speaker had the audacity to believe that Berkeley, a campus whose students became famous in the 60s for standing up for the rights of freedom of speech on a university, would allow him some speech of his own instead of stopping him in the name of tolerance. Let's be clear. When events are shut down on campus, it's not because students object to the viewpoints of conservatives. It's because they object to the rights of a conservative to come out and express his viewpoint at all. And this comes from the self-righteous who lecture everybody else about the need to stop fascism. Where do the students get the idea that freedom of speech means only freedom to agree with them? Well, they get it a lot of times from their professors, and I know this firsthand because I've spoken at a lot of universities. I've seen professors tell students to go and unplug speakers. They did that to me one time. And where does the violence come from? Well, a lot of it is shipped in. Now, here I should say that only some of the students are getting violent. They're shipping people in. People like George Soros are paying for these professional thugs. And where does the sense of panic come from? Well, a lot of that is coming from Hollywood. 2 weeks ago, world-famous singer and actress Madonna came under a lot of criticism for a passionate speech aimed squarely at the newly elected President Donald Trump during the Women's March on Washington, D.C., an event timed closely to Friday's inauguration, which had taken place the day before. Madonna said, "Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House, but I know that this won't change anything. We cannot fall into despair." Now, that Saturday firestorm was followed by a Sunday attempt to calm the situation. Madonna sought to walk her comment back with an Instagram post. She said, "I am not a violent person. I do not promote violence, and it's important people hear and understand my speech in its entirety rather than one phrase taken wildly out of context. My speech began with, I want to start a revolution of love." Oh, well, you didn't explain it like that, Madonna. Sure, that makes everything fall into place. It was out of a desire to be loving that she offered up words such as anger and outrage. It was only for the purpose of promoting peace that she mentioned blowing up the White House. Now, to those points, Madonna clarified even further. She said, "I spoke in metaphor. And I shared two ways of looking at things. One was to be hopeful, and one was to feel anger and outrage, which I have personally felt. However, I know that acting out of anger doesn't solve anything. And the only way to change things for the better is to do it with love. It was truly an honor to be part of an audience chanting, 'We choose love.'" All right, now many in the news media seem willing to accept Madonna's explanation, including Lisa Respert's France, producer of CNN Digital Entertainment, who wrote, "Madonna was just trying to express herself at the Women's March on Saturday." Oh, yeah, she expressed herself all right on that matter. Everybody agrees. Offering his own comments about such expression, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich had a slightly different take than the CNN entertainment producer. Gingrich tweeted out, Madonna ought to be arrested for saying she thought about blowing up the White House. All right, snide, abrasive political comments are certainly nothing new for showbiz celebrities. And lately, Donald Trump has been treated to an extra heaping helping of Hollywood's tinsel and glitter. We've heard everything from Rosie O'Donnell's call for martial law delaying the inauguration until Trump is cleared of all charges, to Meryl Streep's Golden Globe acceptance speech, which offered some bonus comments, lampooning Trump for the time he, quote-unquote, imitated a disabled reporter. In the fine tradition of her peers, Madonna likes to spread her wings from time to time, offering contentious concern for the direction of our country. Should her words about blowing up the White House be taken at face value, or is she being unfairly quoted out of context as claimed? Well, I want to be fair. Madonna did, in fact, mention a revolution of love early in her speech, and I've read over the entire speech several times. However, if context is important, and she says it is, then an examination of the entire speech is also fair game, especially those words that immediately preceded the controversial remark. Here are the words that came before, and some of them I can't say over the radio because of FCC regulations, and one of them starts with F, and it doesn't stand for FCC. You'll know what I mean, I'm sure. You already do know what I mean. She says, and two are detractors that insist that this march will never add up to anything. F you. F you. It is the beginning of much-needed change, change that will require sacrifice, people, change that will require many of us to make different choices in our lives. But this is the hallmark of revolution. So my question to you today is, are you ready? I said, are you ready? Say yes, we are ready. Say yes, we are ready. One more time, you're ready. Okay, now it was at this point that she added the fateful statement, and I'll read it again. Yes, I am angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House, but I know that this won't change anything. We cannot fall into despair. After that, her speech softened and offered up the word love once again. She said, as the poet W.H. Auden once wrote on the eve of World War II, we must love one another or die. I choose love. Are you with me? Say this with me. We choose love. We choose love. We choose love. I got to tell you, this is just moving me close to tears. More of Madonna's insights when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points. Skyline Church at 94 in Hamishaw, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. about Madonna's speech. You know, even if that angry rant was sandwiched between disclaimers about love, the meat inside the bread should not be hastily dismissed, especially since she told us herself that the notion of blowing up the White House was something she had, quote unquote, thought an awful lot about. The very idea of Madonna thinking at all before speaking should capture our attention in its own right. This is, after all, the same Madonna who just days, literally days after 9/11, offered some thought-challenged words from her Drowned World Tour in Los Angeles. These were her words. "I'd like everyone to say a prayer that President Bush practices restraint in his decision-making and he does not retaliate this act of violence with another act of violence, okay? Because violence only begets violence." All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to remember when that was spoken. This was not about whether or not we should have gone into Iraq. I know there are a lot of viewpoints on that from all sides. This was a call to avoid the use of force against terrorists who planned the destruction of the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. But two Saturdays ago, at the Washington March, Madonna was actually reading her speech. This suggests she wrote the speech, which suggests she actually did think about it ahead of time. It was not an example of unfortunate words accidentally pouring out of somebody's mouth. Just imagine a conservative celebrity or radio show host talking about blowing up the White House during the Obama administration. They would be grinded up and spit out by the mainstream media. They might even be arrested. Now, as it happens, the secret police does claim to be looking into Madonna's speech, but this is a secret service under the new Trump administration. If Obama were still president and she had talked about blowing up, say, Trump Tower, one wonders if any investigation would follow. I don't think it would have. Now, in Madonna's defense, we do have a First Amendment right to freedom of speech. While that right does not include calling for a violent overthrow of the government, Madonna did add immediately in her Saturday chat that she was not really calling for such a thing, but had merely thought about it. Those were still serious words. Then again, this is Madonna, no stranger to unusual comments. Well, as a general rule, any citizen's talk of violent action should be taken seriously. It is difficult for most people to take anything Madonna says seriously. This would include other portions of her Washington speech, which expressed concern for the so-called suppression of women in the United States. She said, "The revolution starts here. The fight for the right to be free, to be who we are, to be equal. Let's march together through this darkness and with each other." She's talking about women. Madonna is not free. Is that what I'm understanding here? Madonna is not free. Madonna is not being treated equally. Madonna's fame and fortune do not provide a lifestyle better than 99% of the globe. Now, such words would have been welcome in the American vernacular long ago when women were not allowed to vote. And in the more recent past, women have still had a lot of additional rights to fight for. But in the present, one cannot resist the obvious observation that this assembly of protests was not a violation of federal law. It is, in fact, listed in our First Amendment as the right to assemble, the right to speak freely. Try to imagine such a gathering of women in Saudi Arabia. Okay, is that too much of an unfair one? How about Afghanistan? Iran? Syria? Try to imagine a rally like that in Somalia. Yes, women are absolutely being treated like property and slaves in many countries all over the world. America is not one of them. Instead, America has female Supreme Court justices, female senators, and female candidates for the office of President of the United States, the last one who happened to be a crook, and they still didn't throw her in jail. Madonna does have a record of promoting peace, misplaced as it may be. The countries that truly suppress women and send terrorists to America do not seem to concern her as much as the United States using violence against such places in order to stop the suppression. And so, while Madonna can probably be taken at her word that use of lightning charge incendiary verbiage 2 weeks ago was not a true call to violence, despite the fact that her choice of phraseology actually was pre-planned, the intended heart of her speech, the belief that women in the United States are still being suppressed, that is where we should really take issue. But that opinion, for better or for worse, is an opinion Madonna is entitled to precisely because she lives in the very country she criticizes. And so in this particular case, it might be best to extend some grace and let the matter drop. Alas, America does not yet have laws against running off at the mouth like shining beacons of ignorance. Well, if you would like to weigh in on anything we talked about today, you can always reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel, SIEGEL.net. And we'll look at some of your comments when we return.
You know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they had hoped would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen. Since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Valduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717.
Or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
This is Dana Ray, a reoccurring co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, here to tell you about Bob's novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. What kid could resist the chance to wish for anything he wanted, even if he knew he was flirting with certain danger every single time he made the wish? 12-year-old Mike Owens has received a special present from his eccentric Aunt Lorene, a magic Christmas ornament. The ornament functions as a kind of Aladdin's lamp, but with a unique twist. Each time Mike's wish is granted, something bad happens to a person who is with him at the time the wish was spoken. This, of course, sets up a chain reaction of trouble and adventure. Weighing his own desires against the consequences to those around him, Mike learns a valuable lesson about choices and personal responsibility while experiencing a nonstop adventure with extremely unusual turns. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com. and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Going to look at now some of the comments about some issues we talked about today. Most of these off Facebook. Regarding my comments about what the real Hitler did to the Jews and how inappropriate it is to compare Trump's policy of vetting refugees, many people on Facebook like what I had to say, including Valerie, Patty, Kathy, Adam, Grant, Larry, Tamara. It goes on and on. I won't list all of them. We would be here all night, and that would be boring. You get the idea. But I will read some of the comments I received, starting with a couple of my favorites. Fran says, well stated, Bob. Well, that was a little self-serving, so I'll read a different comment. Russ says, brilliant, Bob. Thank you. Just something about these. Kathy also says, simply, thank you. Well, you're welcome, Kathy. And I should tell you, that wasn't the same Kathy I read on the list of likes. This is Kathy with a K. The other was Kathy with a C. Yes, sir, folks. The Bob Siegel Show is liked not by one Kathy, but by two. It's amazing. Isn't it fun the kinds of comments I can get away with when most people are watching the Super Bowl and they don't hear me? Now, if I can only think of an excuse for the comments I make all the other weeks of the year. George says, and I am not aware of any refugees fleeing a country in the fear of their lives, returning to that same country they fled to vacation, and on the dime of the new host country to boot, not until now anyway. Arabs won't have them, won't help them, won't house them or feed them, say they are too dangerous. So when our president says, hold up, we need time to check and see what is going on, I cheer his leadership, not only for our country, but setting a great example for the rest of the world to drop this globalization, new world order, and return to your senses. Now, Maria takes issue a little bit. She says, I think Trump could have done this better and differently, though. She doesn't seem to object to what he did, but the way he did it. A lot of people are saying that. She says, for example, having all the agencies that look after our security actually cooperate and share information. Well, I agree with you partially, Maria. He certainly did this fast. I'm not sure that means the agencies will not be cooperating and sharing info, but he did do it fast. Still, fast as Trump has been with one executive order after another, you know who worked even faster? Our last president did as much damage as he possibly could in the last few weeks of office, including, as I've said, selling Israel up the river and then making deals with Australia that will take a bunch of refugees that they clearly don't want. He is like somebody forced to vacate his rented apartment who trashes the place on his way out the door. And where are all the courts which challenged Obama's actions? Trump has been given a court order to cease his restrictions. Now, I don't believe in executive orders when they usurp from the responsibility of another branch of government, because I believe in our checks and balances. But ladies and gentlemen, keeping our country safe is a power that was granted to the executive branch in the Constitution. The judicial branch has nothing to do with it. That is, the judicial branch is not supposed to have anything to do with it. But then, as I have said many times, our republic is fading away and we are becoming an oligarchy ruled by courts. This may change as a result of Trump's recent appointee. Watch for the Democrats to dig up some dope on this new poor guy. Soon we'll hear that back when he was in Boy Scouts, he refused to help an old lady cross the street or something like that. Mary says, as a citizen, I am rereading the organic Constitution and keeping the main thing the main thing, free of addictive focus on those people and policies that keep us tethered to anything that does not serve us moving forward as a group and as individuals. Boy, this sounds sophisticated. So sophisticated, I'm guessing how many people are following this. She goes on, viewing our country from a 30,000-foot view, not through lenses of whatever perceived abuse or cause is key now. The glass is half full, my friends, and there is good in what our leaders are doing. Wait to see how it goes versus placing perceptions of roadblocks in the path. I don't think Mr. Spock or Commander Data could have said it better, but she seems to be saying, give the guy a chance. Now, to my comment that if Trump cured cancer, he would be accused of murder, since cancer is technically a living organism. Eric says, no, if he cured cancer, he'd be demonized for putting doctors out of work. That's a good one, Eric. Amy says, well said, and if he were God, they threw rocks through his window. Amy, I heard that on Fiddler on the Roof. That's where you got it. Great line, though. However, responding to Amy on Facebook, Dave says, I think they crucified God. And that is a good point, Dave. When public opinion turns against somebody, we tend to think, well, how can the whole public be wrong? Well, there are times when the problem is with the public and not the individual. What better example than when the public turned on Christ, God himself in the form of a man? Now, don't go out of here and say, I'm claiming Trump is God. Even Trump doesn't think he's God. After all, Trump said the Bible was the best book ever written, with The Art of the Deal being second. I'm sure he was kidding. He had to be kidding. Even so, we're not here to say that Trump doesn't have his problems. But if he can at least keep the government out of our lives, and if he continues to fight for religious freedom, that will be enough for me. Patty on Facebook says, you're on a roll, Bob. Now, regarding my comments about people being shocked that Trump is keeping his campaign promises, Jim says, shocking, just shocking, and then wonderful. Mary says, winning. Mindy says that's what happens when you're not a real politician. They like to go golfing and have a lot of vacations and talk about what they think they might do someday. Looks like the businessman who is used to making things happen is the experienced one at getting things done without being concerned with who says what about it. A hands-on employee is going to get the work done. Yeah, I should say Charles Schumer, one of his biggest complaints about Trump was that he wasn't bringing in politicians. He was bringing in businessmen. And he says, we need to drain the swamp of all these businessmen. The idea was to drain the swamp of the politicians. Anyway, Denise says, now, if we only take the time and clear out Congress, it would be a good start at rebuilding our country. Enough of the career politicians who have proved over and over again that all they really care about is what lines their pockets. I have hope again. Regarding my comments about Madonna, Melinda says, Bob, America does have some laws in the U.S. Code regarding threatening the president or vice president. It may be argued that Madonna falls into a gray area. She can be fined or sentenced or prison, indicating a range of severity is considered. There are also laws that deal with sedition. The march clearly has some violators of those. Well, yes, Melinda, there are sedition laws, but as I said, it's very difficult to take somebody like Madonna seriously. Regarding my comments about the stupidity of Democrats in Congress right now trying to hold off the Supreme Court nomination, Walter on Facebook says, excuse me, but I must remind all of you who seem to hate us Democrats that Mitch McConnell would not even allow Merrick Garland a chance to be heard, and he is a moderate judge. And former President Obama had every right to nominate him. Also, please don't paint every Democrat with a broad brush. We are not all alike. In my case, I certainly haven't considered every Trump supporter or Republican to be the same. That is a fair response, Walter. And I'm talking about the Democratic senators specifically. I myself was a Democrat for many years. I only recently re-registered as an independent. Based on previous conversations, Walter, I know you to be a sincere person with good intentions, even if we do not always agree. Thank you for your comments. Oh, by the way, though, Walter, I do need to say the only evidence that Merrick Garland is a moderate is that Obama calls him one. Democrats describe mainstream as pro-choice, pro-gay marriage, a judge who views the Constitution as a living, breathing document. The very notion that Obama would have chosen a real moderate is about as fantastic a leap of faith as Al Gore admitting that his private jet contributes to dangerous emissions while he flies around the world giving lectures on global warming. Now, regarding my unwillingness to even name the head of the Justice Department who refused to obey President Trump's executive orders, those comments that you heard over the radio were also on my Facebook post. And to that post, Steve says, perfect. No 15 minutes of fame. I love it. You rock, Bob. Was wondering her name, just so you know, as I was reading your post, and I couldn't stop laughing. Well, Steve, I wrote that post right after I heard it on the news, and I considered looking up her name again before I wrote, and then I said to myself, why? But here's a question that you don't have to ask. Why should you listen to the radio next week at 6? Because your old pal Bob will be back. That's why.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.